for allowing these things to happen, for sending your dear Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the redeeming power of his blood tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Lord, we need your help now. Clear out all the thoughts of the world. Lord, all the misconceptions and wickedness of the day. Just throw them out just for a little while. Help us, Lord, to only have holy and pure thoughts just for the next couple of minutes. Lord, give us interpretation of thy word. Lord, that we may gain from it what you would want us to get tonight. That we may glean from the harvest fields of these verses. Lord, we pray that there'll be a lost one here tonight. Lord, that one would be saved. Would it be in here or in the back with the children? Help Miss Gill to teach, help the children to listen. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Give me the words to speak. It has to be you, Lord. Lord, we need you. May your will be done. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Could have, but didn't. We know the story of Joseph. He was Jacob's favorite son. His father doted on him, gave him many privileges. At the age of 17, we pick up in Genesis and we find that Joseph is with his father, while his other brothers are out tending stock. Joseph was always near his father Jacob. We find that he had a special place with his dad. And his dad loved him very much. And so much that he was well favored and he gave him a coat of many colors, the Bible says. We find that Joseph had dreams, that he was blessed of God with interpretations. We know that Joseph's life was to be favored by these dreams. He shared these dreams with his brothers and with his father. But even though that Joseph was loved by his father, he was hated by his brothers. Joseph was betrayed because of the sin of jealousy. Because of a love that his father had, his brothers hated him. Because of what Joseph was to become, his brothers hated him. Because God was going to esteem Joseph above them, his brothers hated him. Because of this jealousy, this sin, Joseph was going to suffer many things. We find that at age 17, Joseph was taken of his brothers and thrown into a pit with no water, the Bible says. They wanted to kill him. They decided not to kill him. We know the story that they sell him to the Ishmaelites as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. And then from there, the Ishmaelites sell him to Potiphar, again, to be a slave into his house. And then the story goes on that he is lied about. And then he's thrown in prison. And then while he was in prison, he helps other people. And then he is forgotten and left 2 years longer. All these things are happening to Joseph, and Joseph has done not one thing wrong. You go through the Bible and you read the story of Joseph over and over again, you find not one condemnation of Joseph. There are some that surmise that you can pick out a sin. I cannot. You find nothing that Joseph did wrong. But yet you study his life and thing after thing comes to him. He gets thrown in the pit. He gets sold for slavery. He gets sold again. And then he gets thrown in jail. Then he gets forgotten about. And all these things continue to happen to Joseph that he does not deserve. But yet you notice Joseph's attitude throughout the whole thing. It never changes. Joseph had every right to be angry. for what happened to him. Every time he turned around, he went from mountaintop to valley. He was favored by his father, thrown in a pit. He was atop a pillar for his house, he was thrown in jail. He was in place of all the servants of the prison, he was forgotten for 2 years. He would go up and he would come down. He would go up and he would come down. It was the life of Joseph. Joseph did no wrong, but yet this is the life that he suffered. He had every right to be bitter and to be ugly, to be mean and to be cruel. He had every right to desire revenge for the things that had happened to him in his life. It was one battle after another for Joseph. And there was no letting up. Joseph's life was enough to make anyone turn hateful and spiteful. Joseph's life was enough for anyone to turn ugly and mean and wicked and cruel. And as a matter of fact, people have done their lives to turn that way for less. People's lives have turned bitter and wicked for less things than what Joseph has suffered. It was enough to turn even the nicest saint to the worst sinner. We make comments or excuses for people on how they act because of things that have happened in their lives. Oh, but they suffered this. Oh, but they suffered that. I dare say that Joseph suffered more than he deserved. But his life did not reflect bitterness. His life did not reflect ugliness. His life did not reflect the vengeance that most would. When he came out of prison, he was exalted over Egypt. And he was made second to Pharaoh. And he could have taken revenge for Potiphar, his wife, and what she did. Could have taken revenge for the butler and how he had forgotten him in 2 years in prison. He could have even went after his own brother and kinsman. But in the heart of this man that has been studied for thousands of years as a type of Christ, we find this statement: "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" He had all the power in the world at this time. But when he came out of prison, he was exalted. He was made second to the Pharaoh. And at this time, there was none greater than him. He could literally point and people would die. He spoke and it was done. He could make laws. He could break laws. He could make rules. It did not matter. The words that he came out of his mouth were then written. That's the power that Joseph had. In the Egypt, he was considered to be a god. That's how they treated him. He was given all power in the kingdom. But the statement, "Fear not, for am I, in the place of God," never left his bosom. What does this statement mean? Even though he had the power that was given to him, even though he had the rights, and even though all the trials and the tribulations warranted judgment, he says, "I'm not God. I have no right." John 7:24 says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." This is to discern and evaluate doctrine and practices and to govern actions accordingly. But the execution of judgment is left in the hands of the Son. John 5:27 says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." Joseph had the power, but he said, "It's not my place." Joseph had reason, but he says, "It's not my right." Joseph sowed forgiveness when none was due. He not only showed forgiveness, but he showed kindness. He showed love. He said, "Not only did I forgive you, but now I will nourish you. I will take care of you for the rest of my life," he told his brothers. "I forgive you for the wickedness that you have portrayed on me those years. For all the suffering that I went through,
I forgive you. But not only did I forgive you, now I'm going to take care of you. Now, from my bosom shall I feed you. Now from the table, from my bountifulness, I shall care for you. But not only shall I care for you, I am going to care for your children. Because I forgive you for what you did. He had every right to throw them in a dungeon. He had every right to slay them. He had every right to be mad and to be spiteful and to hate them for the wickedness that they did for him. But he said, fear not. For it's not my place to cast judgment. But I love you. And I'm going to tend to your needs. He said, don't worry about it. Yes, you did this, but fear not. I love you and I'm going to care for you. Fear not, I forgive you. And from this day forward, for as long as I breathe, you shall eat at my table. But not only you, your kinsmen, your family, your kids, I will nourish them also. A man that had great power, that could do anything he wanted, he says, fear not, for it's not my place. I want to take care of you. We are no better than the begging brothers that Joseph had. We have earned God's judgment. We deserve nothing but eternal fires in hell for the sins that we have committed. Just as Joseph's brothers deserved whatever they had coming to him that day, we deserve judgment ourselves. But just like his brothers, we beg before God forgiveness. We earned every stripe that was laid on our Savior's back before He was taken to Calvary's hill. We earned those stripes. That was our judgment that He bore in His body. But we beg forgiveness. These sins that we have committed, that we so rightly deserve judgment, was placed upon Him. The pain that He suffered, that was our judgment. The spear that went into His side, that was our judgment. The crown of thorns that smote upon His head, that was my judgment. That was your judgment. The smoting across the face, that was judgment for our sins. But yet we beg for forgiveness. We cry out, Lord, forgive me. But in His body, He bore our judgments that day on Calvary. We plead, we ask God, we ask Christ, forgive us for what we have done. And that's perfectly okay. Because He went to Calvary's hill so that we would cry out to Him. He died on the tree so that we would beg for forgiveness. And it's okay if we fall before His feet and say, dear God, forgive me for what I've done, because that's what He wants us to do. And He stands and He opens His nail-scarred hands. As you stand on His nail-scarred feet and you see His pierced side, and you know what He says? He says, fear not. For in my body I bore your judgments. It's okay. Don't fear me. For the stripes I bore your judgments. My hands I bore your judgment. Don't fear me. Come. What He cries out. Don't fear me. I did this for you. I bore every bit of your sins into my body that you would not have to fear my judgment. Yes, the judgments were given to me. Yes, the judgments were given from the Father to the Son, that He has every right to judgment, to judge us. But He said, I bore your judgment in my body that you would not have to suffer these things if you're a saved child of God. And He cries out to each one of us today, fear not. Come to me. I will forgive you. Because I did this for you. We have no fear of our Savior. Because our penalty has been paid. Our price has been taken care of. Our debt is no longer a debt. It's no longer owed. Because He bore it in His body for us. He says, fear not. We don't have to come trembling and scared before Him, because He's done it all. And not only has He done it all in His body, He says more. I've done so much more, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And in the garden is the fruit of the tree of life. Eternity. He said, come. Come and dine with me. Come and eat at my table. Just like Joseph said, that I will nourish you and I will nourish your children. Christ says, come and dwell with me. Build you a mansion. You shall spend eternity with me. There shall be no more sickness, no more pain, and no more sorrow. We shall rule together. You shall do so much more. The grace that Joseph gave his brother was a tribute of love. The grace that Christ distributed to us is a tribute of love. And it's unmatched by anything. And all we have to do is cry out for forgiveness. Joseph's brothers cried out and He forgave them. We cried out before God and before Christ and He forgives us. And what Christ did, there's not words to describe. What an amazing thing. But when it's our time to do the same thing that Joseph done, or when it's our time to do the same thing our Savior did, when it's our time to extend the grace and say to fear not to somebody that's done wrong, to say, fear not, you owe me nothing, to say, fear not, I forgive you, we do not say that. We do not extend the same grace that Joseph did. We do not extend the same grace that our Savior does. The Word of God says in Matthew 5:39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. We don't turn cheeks today. We smite them back. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We don't extend that grace today. We play the one-up game today. Oh, you do that to me, I'm going to do this to you now. I'm going to do it tenfold. You can't get away with that. It's not grace. It's not a Christian attitude. We didn't get what we deserved, but we tried to give everybody else something. Christ gave us grace. He gave us forgiveness. Are we not to do the same to be Christ-like? Are we not to extend the same grace to those that do us wrong? I was teaching kids the other day about turning the other cheek. One of our own church kids said, well, my parents told me not to do that. Said, I am not to forgive and not to turn the other cheek. One of our own members has taught their kids that. Taught them directly against the Word of God. The Bible clearly says that we are to forgive and to turn the other cheek. We do not forgive. How can we expect Him to forgive us? Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Oh, we want forgiveness. How we beg and we cry before the mercy seat of God. Forgive me, Lord, for my trespasses, for my sins. But we do not extend that right hand of grace to those that have offended us. Why? Why do we not forgive when yet we want it ourselves? Is that not hypocritical? We want forgiveness, we should also give forgiveness. We do not forgive, we harbor it till it boils inside of us, until we explode. We don't turn the other cheek, we try to turn theirs. We don't let bygones be bygones. We pick at it like a scab until it bleeds. We don't have to roll over. We have a right to defend ourselves, I'm not saying that. Even Nehemiah, when he was building the wall, had a spear in one hand and a trowel in the other. But God says that we are to forgive. God says that we have a right to defend. But we have a right to forgive. And in order for God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. The issuance of judgment belongs to the Son of Man, not to man. It is given to Christ, not to us. The power that has been given to us is the power of forgiveness. Not that we can forgive sin, but the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us allows us to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. Christ bore the judgment. We are but beggars. We only have one right. And that's the right to extend the same grace that He extended to us. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." No one should ever fear the wrath of a Christian. For there should be no wrath in a Christian's heart. Christ had no wrath in His heart. And we are commanded to be Christ-like, to be holy for Thou art holy. To forgive one another, to love one another. These are the things that we're supposed to do. There should never be a fear of wrath from a Christian. Ecclesiastes 3:17, "I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." God will take care of the judgment. You may not see it in your time. You may not see it this week. You may not see it this year. But God has promised that those things that people have done, they will have to answer for one day. It is His place, the judgment. It is His place, the issue of the sentence. It is His place to do His job. Judgment does not fall upon us. We do not issue the punishment. God does. Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He shall not miss one thing." There's no secret thing that God shall not judge. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows our intents. God shall take care of it all. It is not our place. Joseph told his brothers, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God." He says, "I'm not God. I do not issue punishment. Give out love. I give out forgiveness." And that is our job. We do not issue punishment as Christians. We pass out grace. We hand out forgiveness. And we love one another as He loved us. If we don't forgive others, the Bible clearly states that He won't forgive us. Don't harbor things in our hearts. We have to love like He loves us. Let's stand. Father God, we do love You. And we thank You for Your dear Son. Lord, for everything that He bore in His body. It's not an easy thing to forgive people, Lord. It goes against the grain of our very being. Help us, Lord, to forgive as You've forgiven us. Help us, Lord, not to harbor one thing against another person. Not to have that kind of spirit. But to have a loving spirit for one another. For in order to be Christ-like, we have to love like Christ loved. In order to do the work of a church, the work of a people, we have to love just like You. It's not a mushy love, but it's an everlasting and understanding. Father God, search our hearts. You know the secret things.
Help us to get it all right with you, that we can be usable by you. Help us to forgive. In Christ's name we pray.